Today on Maine Calling, the hows and whys of getting a grant. Foundations handed out more than $100 billion in charitable giving last year, much of that in the form of grants. Grants are the engine that fuel many nonprofit organizations and new initiatives that might not be funded otherwise. So how do you get a grant for your idea or project? The world of grant making and grant writing can seem daunting and mysterious. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we pull back the curtain on grant making. We'll learn how to identify a potential funder, how to best approach them, and how to make your grant application sing. We'll also discuss the broader impact of grants, how they can bring organizations together, and when they might not be the best fit. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Welch and Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth. From investments to trustee services, more at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The world of grants may be a little under the radar for many people, but it is a big part of how our communities function. Today, we'll learn about the whole process of grant making. Joining me, Jeanette Andre, who is president and CEO of the Maine Philanthropy Center. Genius Black, who also goes by Jerry Edwards, is the author of a new book about grant writing and is a podcaster, political analyst, and co-founder of Black-Owned Maine. And Jennifer Hutchins is executive director of the Maine Association of Nonprofits. We invite you to join the conversation. What do you want to know about writing a grant or figuring out where you might turn for funding? Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Thank you all for joining us. Jennifer, I'll start with you. I think the whole world of grants and grant making is a bit mysterious to many people. Give us a big picture sense of the role that grant seeking and grant giving in Maine, the big picture impact of what you see from your perspective.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jennifer, for having this topic be featured on Maine Calling. I would be happy to just talk just a minute about nonprofits in general. There are approximately 2,500 public charities in Maine that file financial data with the IRS on a regular basis. So what that means to us is that these are 2,500 organizations that are out there doing the work of our community to strengthen our communities, everything from the arts to the environment to health and social services to libraries to summer camps and on and on and on, youth development programs, et cetera. And one of the key ways that these charities are able to support their work is through grants from foundations, from private and public foundations that are also also nonprofits themselves. They just have slightly different rules in how they operate. And so I like to just highlight the fact that we've got so many organizations out there doing this work, and we have another group of foundations that Jeanette can really feature in terms of the specifics of the size of the how much they're contributing through grants to the nonprofit sector. But I'll just start there by saying that they're all these amazing community organizations that are doing a lot of work, and grants are really important to their ability to do that.
Yeah, and Jennifer, I understand that 2,500 for a state the size of Maine is a lot, that Maine has a lot more nonprofits per capita than the most other states.
That's true. And the primary reason for that, it's really important for people to understand, Jennifer, because sometimes we hear that, like, why does Maine have so many nonprofits anyway? That is because, especially in New England and some of the really rural states out west, we rely on nonprofits to deliver a lot of our human service work. Whereas in other states, counties do a lot of that work. And so we don't have our county governments are not handling the amount of social, what sometimes we call the social safety net of supporting our most vulnerable populations. In Maine, in New England, and some of the other more rural states out west, those tend to be done by local nonprofits that are out there serving older adults, serving people with special needs who need access because of food insecurity or rides to their health appointments, that sort of thing. And so that's one of the reasons why we have a per capita a higher number than the national average. In Maine, it's about 1 in 10. Nationally, it's closer to 1 in 6.
Okay. Well, Genius, you have a new book out about grant writing. Congratulations. What's your own experience with grant writing, and why did you decide to write a book about it?
Back in the year 2020 was the first time I had experience writing grants, and that was back when I co-founded Black Owned Maine. And for me, having some early success, thankfully, because I was already a strong writer, although I didn't understand the kind of craft or the intricacies of writing grants. Having some early success in helping to, I was co-authoring at the beginning grants with Rose Barboza at the time. That it helped me to understand what was needed inside a grant, like what was the meat of the writing, and it demystified it and made me no longer afraid because I realized that I already knew everything. Just like most of y'all listening would already know all the answers, you just don't know what the questions are yet. Check that out. So the reason I wrote the book is because after winning, about 20 grants over time, over years, and having so much success, when I would talk to people about it, they would always reflect back that, man, that's a lot. Like you say, well, I didn't win a lot too. Don't get me wrong, but I have actually, and they're not all big grants by any means. But I realized after helping a couple friends win some grants, just by me giving them language, oh, read the question like this. Okay, now read it again slower. Okay, these kind of like little exercises and things that I thought of, they'd end up really confident, like truly, whether they won the grant or not. And that's when I knew I was onto not only a good understanding, but that I was good at sharing it. But I can only help so many people, and I can't help that many people for free because life doesn't work like that. So I boiled it down to a book. And it was my first book. I released it on my birthday, September 9th. Shout out being 43.
Oh, you're a baby.
Baby.
Genius. Let me you use the phrase winning grants, and really one of the things, and I think one of the things that maybe prevents people from applying for grants is the fact that many are very competitive, that hundreds or thousands may be competing for the same grant. And I'm just wondering if you have a suggestion about mindset going into applying for a grant.
I really do. And I love the question you just asked because I don't even like using the word winning, to be honest, because it implies competition and scarcity and things like that. I also like to jump up and down to get excited if I feel like I won something. So that's why I colloquially use that phrase. However, this is the mindset. People that are artists, they have an artistic practice. People that are writers, they write things. People that play sports, they win some games, they lose some. But you know what they are? Athletes. If you are a person trying to get your ideas off the ground, get funded, or support other people, or write grants inside of an organization, you will win and you will lose, period. And if you can accept that, you don't have to be fluctuated every time you win or lose. It's a practice. You will get better with practice. You will understand more over time. And over time, this is the other trick, not a trick, secret, I'll say this, is that money begets money. When you start winning, you win more. Because not only have you unlocked it, but people say, oh, so you need 10,000 from us, but you already got 5,000 from them. And your budget makes sense, and it seems like you know what you're talking about. I want to fund you. If they don't, and you don't win or receive the grant, cool. Keep rocking forward. Don't allow the win, the up or the down, the win or the loss to shake you, or to a single grant won't make your business. business doesn't work like that. So that's the mindset. It's a practice and you'll get better over time. Don't let your psyche hang off of a single grant application and the yes or no ever. That is not the right mindset.
Jeanette, I want to turn to you. Many grants given out in Maine, as we've talked about, are by foundations, many of them private foundations. Tell us about the foundations you work with at the Maine Philanthropy Center, and give us a scale of the kind of money being granted in Maine.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And honored to be here and following incredible people. I identify as a recovering grant maker, and I am now a grant writer in my own work. So this topic is incredibly interesting and important to me. The scale of grant making in Maine is smaller than in other places. We have about 683 active foundations here in Maine. They give $243 million from our last report, which was assessing the 2021 grant making in Maine. The total giving in Maine is around $989 million, and that's across corporations, individuals, and bequests. And so, you know, foundation giving, while a significant portion of giving in Maine, is one of the small ways in which funding moves in Maine and nonprofits are resourced. And so the foundations that we work with are really opting into a community of grant making and philanthropy. We have a goal to advance effective philanthropy in Maine as an organization. And so we have about 500 nonprofits, philanthropic organizations, individuals, state agencies, municipalities, consultants, corporations, I think you name it. If they're giving out money in grants or receiving grants, then there's a space for them at our organization. And what we aim to do is build relationships, provide skills, research around the sector, and advance equitable grant making in the state.
All right. And I know that grants are, you know, everything from very large organizations to very small, tiny organizations apply for grants. Jeanette, I'm going to focus on the smaller side. If somebody's listening to this program right now and has an idea for a project and wants to apply for a grant, let's say somebody wants to start a community garden in their town. How does one start thinking about it? How does one start about thinking about how can I raise money? Can I apply for a grant? Where would I even find somebody who might fund this? Go.
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of resources. I would say to get the story right, to understand strategy, look at resources like Maine Association of Nonprofits, Genius Black's book, Seven Genius Grant Writing Secrets, and other technical assistance and training programs that Maine Philanthropy Center offers. There's databases, a number of different databases that help nonprofits identify right-sized funders for them. And so you can either go to Candid or Impala, but there are a lot of research tools that exist that are free or low cost that any small nonprofit or any individual can get access to in Maine that can help them provide the foundation for finding the right funder. And then I would say, see who else is doing the work and see who else is funding them, because that's a good indication that that grant maker might be interested in similar projects and supporting their own work.
Go ahead, Genius.
I think I can just second and third everything you just said. And I would say, though, even before you do most of that, the first thing you want to do is ask yourself, this community garden, what will be the impact in my community? Why? Not just why do I want to make a garden, but like, why do people go and frequent gardens and what do they get out of it for their mental health, their children, the smell of flowers, whatever, colors. Maybe there's going to be a cool color combination there. The reason I say that, just to harken back to the book, Seven Genius Grant Writing Secrets, one of the secrets is practice describing your impact. That's secret number six, practice describing your impact. People don't generally know how to talk about their impact. They talk about their passions. They talk about what they want to do. They talk about how it wants to look. But if you can figure out before you even start applying what the impact will be and who will be impacted, you are already well along your way of filling out a successful application and getting into all the resources that were just highlighted.
Jennifer, it'd be very hard, though, wouldn't it, for an individual with an idea to receive a grant, right? I mean, this is one thing is that most, and correct me if I'm wrong, but most grants are funded to organizations. There's reasons for that, right? You don't want, I'm sure that people who are donating money through a philanthropy want to make sure that the people receiving it are indeed legitimate. So tell me how that works. How does one put themselves in a position to be funded?
Yeah, that's a really, I think it's important to clarify. And I'd be really interested to hear Genius and Jeanette's experience too, of course. Typically, what you think of when it comes to grant making is that foundations are looking for the 501c3 status and having that kind of representation. It's not impossible for an individual to be able to have a good idea and partner with a nonprofit and make it happen. But typically speaking, the 501c3 status can be a very important factor before approaching a foundation. But I know that there, particularly when it comes to creative people, like Genius is talking about artists and writers and musicians, there are ways that they can have their own individual idea be supported by nonprofits who then can be the fiscal agent or fiscal sponsor, if you will, in reaching out to that foundation. But Jeanette and Genius may have more specific ideas with regards to individuals.
Yeah, Genius, you at one point were an individual with an idea. Did you partner with an organization? Did you found an organization? Did you do both?
I've done both, actually, right? But it is important to understand, I love this, the variants and types of grants, right? So for instance, I'm going to say something here, and as much as I love the representatives on this particular show from the nonprofit sector, I'm going to say something wild. You don't have to be a nonprofit to receive a grant, whether you are an individual or an organization. Either or, because there are grants available that are specifically not for 501c3s. Or if you are a for-profit business or something of the such, and you have an official fiscal sponsor, meaning they have a 501c3. For instance, I'm the host and producer of the Maine's Black Future podcast. We just released episode 7. I work with the Maine Monitor. They helped me to produce and they host it, and they're my fiscal sponsor. When I won a grant for $45,000 from the Maine Initiatives, and it's over 3 years, they give you $15,000 a year. The first $15,000 check goes to who? To the Maine Monitor. And then they dispense the money the way that we agree on it based off of what I want because I wrote the grant, right? Because for instance, I had to be a Black or BIPOC person to even apply for this particular grant. But it's for the podcast, which is a small organization, but I had to have a fiscal sponsor. So I would just say, if your idea isn't to start a nonprofit, that doesn't mean you're locked out of the game. Keep searching and make sure you read the criteria. You might need to acquire Fractured Atlas comes to mind. This is, a lot of artists go to them, right? There are other types of places. But again, some grants are, you do not need to be a 501c3. Don't think you're locked out just because you're not a nonprofit.
All right. And Jeanette, we do need to go to a break, but I quickly want to build on something that Genius just said. He keeps talking about read carefully, read slowly. And would you say that one of the biggest problems that people who are applying for grants make is really sort of trying to put a square peg into a round hole, not reading that, not reading what's necessary carefully enough and applying for something that really is not the right fit?
You know, I don't know if I have a good sense of whether or not that is the biggest hiccup for individuals or organizations working with grant makers. I'll say the grant makers don't make it easy a lot of times. We have a database of over 300 foundations. Most of them don't have websites. You know, there's reading carefully. There's the instruction to kind of absorb all the material that is available. And sometimes that material is just not available or isn't super clear. And so, you know, I would plus one Geniuses, like read everything and try and get as much information as you can and make sure that your grant is the right fit. Sometimes there's opportunities to talk to individuals at a grant maker. But it, you know, I would say the majority experience might not be for nonprofits that they get to read something very thorough or talk to a helpful individual to guide their grant application.
All right. Well, we do need to take a quick break. We're talking about the world of grant writing and grant making. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you are listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, we're talking about the world of grants. With me, Jennifer Hutchins, Executive Director with the Maine Association of Nonprofits, Jeanette Andre, President and CEO of the Maine Philanthropy Center, and Genius Black, who is author of the new book, Seven Genius Trips Tips for Grant Writing. Maybe your next one's about trips, genius. He's also a political analyst, podcaster, and musician. Share your comments and questions. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. The number again, 1-800-399-3566. Joining us now is Elizabeth Haffey. She is with the E. Haffey Grant Consulting, and she also teaches a grant writing certificate program at the University of Maine. Thanks so much for calling in, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, you know, we are doing an hour-long conversation, and you are involved in a certificate program. So obviously this is a big topic, and one that people spend a lot of time studying. What is the advantage of doing something like a certificate in grant writing?
Sure. So a certificate in grant writing, I would say, is really invaluable in our current climate. Every organization, whether it's a nonprofit or a municipal office or a business, will always need funding. So it's a transferable skill, and you can actually turn it into a consulting business where you can focus on a specific niche, make your own schedule, and select the clients that you want to work with.
So you've made a career out of this, and I'm wondering, how busy are you?
Quite busy. Every year I teach several grant writing certification courses. So that's through the University of Maine and the University of Southern Maine professional development offices. So those are 5 weeks at a time. Those are online programs.
All right. So this is something that is not going away in our community. This is a skill set that is highly desirable and highly needed in your view.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, grant consultant and instructor Elizabeth Haffey. Now calling in is Katie Howard. Katie is a community partner with Maine Community Foundation. Thanks for calling in, Katie.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
So tell us about the Maine Community Foundation. It's set up a little differently than other philanthropies, isn't it?
It is. So we're Maine Community Foundation. We're a statewide foundation that offers a variety of different ways that individuals and groups can give away, make charitable gifts. And a big part of that are our competitive grant programs, which we have about 17 of right now. And I work on about five or six of those. We also have donor advised funds and scholarships and agency funds, which is where we're helping nonprofits manage their long-term investments. But I figure the competitive grant programs is probably what you're interested in today.
Yeah. So tell us about, I'm imagining there are people listening today who either work with a nonprofit or are interested in a project in their own community and are going to be applying for a grant. What makes or breaks a submission for a grant? Do you have any advice for grant seekers who might apply for a Maine Community Foundation grant?
Absolutely. I certainly echo what everyone else has already said, and I'm looking forward to checking out Genius's book. The best thing to do is to give us a call or send an email to the community partner that covers the county that you're located in. With so many grant programs, we are here to talk to you and hear about your work and maybe help you figure out which of those grant programs might be a good fit. And I know not all foundations, as Jeanette mentioned, are available to chat, but we really want to help nonprofits find the best use of their time with our different grant programs. So I would definitely say the first step is contact us. And with other funders, if you can, reading those directions closely and then contacting to just check in that it's worth your time. And the other big advice I often give is just to remember that the people that are reading your grant proposal are just regular people. We use community advisors here and staff as well. We're reading a lot of grant proposals at the same time. So when they are sort of really direct, really simple language, I always encourage people to sort of keep it simple and readable and so that the people that are reading them can absorb your ideas.
So maybe avoid the highfalutin language and lots of jargon.
Indeed. Yeah, that's appreciated by the people reading, who may not know what that jargon means.
And let me ask you too, Katie. It's always interesting to me what kinds of money is available for what kind of programs. How does the Maine Community Foundation decide what to fund? Is it based on what your donors are interested in, what they want to give to, or is it because you've assessed the needs of the communities you serve?
So we have funding going out in a lot of different ways. So donor advised funds, those donors, they make those decisions about where their funding goes. For competitive grant programs, we use community advisors, and we're really using that criteria and priorities for each of those grant programs. I think it's 17 right now. I'm always a little off on that number, but they're each very unique. They each grant program is covering often a different need, funding in a different way. Some do general operating, some do project and general operating. So it's really sort of a case-by-case basis with our competitive grant programs. I often tell nonprofits to think of them as their own sort of own foundation, that they don't sort of act similarly to each other sometimes.
All right. Well, Katie, thanks so much for calling in. Katie calling in from the Maine Community Foundation. Genius, I want to follow up on something Katie said about simple, straightforward language. I suspect a lot of people think they have to have a certain style when they write a grant. And I'm going to say that you probably dissuade that, right?
You're correct. I dissuaded. I'm not going to quote from my book and just read to y'all, but I'll say that in Seven Genius Grant Writing Secrets, I talk a lot about learning self-trust, learning how to actually practice writing what you really have to say, not like thus, thou, theeth at all, not even a little, because humans are going to read your application. Clarity is king. Being loquacious is not cool in this, right? You're not going to hypnotize the reader into saying, we want to give you this $10,000 because your words were just so superfluous, because superfluous is extra. So for me, boil it down, be clear. And like I even said before, back up and figure out, what is your impact? What can you do? Wait, who do you need to partner with to make this happen? Don't try to stretch yourself more than you can. And then you'll find that when you talk about it, like the judges on the old school, you know, the little trial shows, there's the ring of truth in what you say and in what you write. And that comes across when you actually know what you're talking about. There's no need for highfalutin language.
It occurs to me, Jennifer, as I'm listening to Genius and thinking about this program, that when an organization is applying for a grant or a person is applying for a grant, it's not one of the benefits isn't just the money that they might be able to invest in a program, but also the practice of applying for a grant may help that organization focus on what they're really about, what their mission is, what they care about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you're absolutely right that, you know, as I've written my fair share of grant applications, filled out proposals several times. And, you know, it can be challenging. And we've already touched upon how foundations are not required to ask the same questions. They, though Jeanette can also talk about how there's some real progress made around common application questions, but they're not, they certainly aren't required to do that. And so sometimes it can be a little frustrating. You need to be persistent and patient with the variety of questions that you might get. But I will say that a lot of the questions are very important in terms of Genius was just talking about requiring you to create some focus in terms of how your project is going to impact the community at large. And that's one thing to remember about, at least around nonprofits and 501c3 organizations, is that by forming a 501c3, you've made a commitment to serve the public good. And so there is it's not unique to every single grant. It's not specific. It's not universal to every grant application, but keeping that mindset of how your project is going to benefit the community as a whole can be really, really helpful. And to your point, Jennifer, the applications can be very helpful in helping you create that focus. So it can be a very helpful exercise to go through. But maybe Jeanette, actually, the common application might be something you want to mention. I don't know.
Go
Yeah,
ahead, Jeanette.
absolutely. Sure. Yeah. So Maine Philanthropy Center currently has a common application that we have a few funders who have adopted. It's a set of standard questions that a funder can use to ask nonprofits for their grants. And we are hoping through a process right now where we're reevaluating, we've gotten a ton of community engagement feedback from funders that we can get funders to adopt our new version when it's released either later this year or in 2025. There are about 25 funders in Maine that give almost a majority of the funding out. And so if we can get just a good chunk of those 25 funders to adopt that common application or those questions, then we can make lives a lot easier for nonprofits, get rid of some of the, I mean, I don't know if the grant writer teacher would appreciate this comment, but get some of the professionalism and the expertise out there and put the people who are doing the work at the front and allow them to spend their time changing their community and improving lives for their individuals they're working with.
On the line now is Eli Cabanas, who's grants and website manager for the Maine Arts Commission. Thanks for calling in, Eli.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Tell us what the Maine Arts Commission focuses on. Is this for both visual art and for performance art?
Yeah, this is for all disciplines. You know, we're a state agency who believes that everybody really deserves an equal access and opportunity to participate in a vibrant creative life. So we try to do that through service, connecting, funding, and advancing. And, you know, grants are one part of that, and grants to both, you know, to artists of all discipline or organizations as well as communities.
What does, yeah, from the Maine community, excuse me, from the Maine Arts Commission, what does grant reviewing entail? How are certain grants selected or rejected? Take us into the room.
Sure. You know, so we have a peer-reviewed process, you know, where it's all competitive grants like so many others that you've talked to, but peer-reviewed. So we really have panels that are made up of groups of geographically diverse people, from not the nonprofit community, from also from the creative community around Maine. So they are the ones that are scoring and reviewing the applications. So, you know, they're, you know, to echo some of the pieces, you know, so, you know, trying to keep it simple for that community and really helping people understand what you're doing and, you know, kind of the five W's of the what, when, how, why, and who of your project, of that can be artist projects, or it could be organizations that are looking for funding through us.
I understand that there's a new grant, the Creative Communities Grant. Tell us about it.
Sure, I'll give you a little update on that, and you know, quick hit. And it's our Creative Communities Grant is really trying to support arts and cultural activities of organizations in service to Maine communities and residents. So we're really, this is a grant that still needs to be brought through a 501c3, but that can be or that it can also be through a municipality, it can be through a tribal entity. And we're really trying to make this so that an artist working with their municipality, with some of the kind of arts adjacent organizations and places within their community can get grants to support community-driven art-based projects that we're hoping to serve as catalysts for livability, economic development, community connectiveness, you know, and support the real cultural and diverse communities around Maine.
Well, Eli,
so
thank you so much. Yeah,
yeah,
thanks for calling in and being a
thanks
part of the discussion
so
today. Eli Cabanas is with the Maine Arts Commission. We do need to take another quick break. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org, or you can find us on social media. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Our topic today, the world of grants. My guest, Genius Black, who is the author of 7 Genius Tips for Grant Writing, Jennifer Hutchins with the Maine Association of Nonprofits, and Jeanette Andre with the Maine Philanthropy Center. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. You still have time to send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org or find us on social media. I'm going to come to a couple questions that have come in through email from Kelly. Is it true that funders are getting more interested in collaborative funding opportunities? Any advice on how to seek out those kind of opportunities where nonprofits can partner for a bigger impact for those they serve? Genius, I see you nodding.
I think actually the other folks might have more on this,
okay.
But I was just thinking to myself that it's very important, again, to read the application because often they're looking for you to be collaborating with other nonprofits or organizations. But yes, that's my
piece. This a trend, Jeanette?
Yeah, I would say to fund both as funders collaborate with each other, to pool money and also to fund collaborations. And I know Jen probably has some more from her work with the National Center on Nonprofits on nonprofit collaboration. But as it relates to accessing that, those funds, you know, I think in the same channels that you find other grant making information through our website, through Candid, through Impala, those are the traditional channels where you'll find announcements around any type of grant making.
Jen, something to add to that?
Yeah, I would just agree with everything that everyone has said so far. It is definitely something that has been out there for a long time, is an emphasis on collaboration. Getting back to the point I was making earlier, the intention behind charitable giving and the work that nonprofits do is to support communities. And one thing I have been thinking that I'll add that's along these lines is one of the things that we counsel at the Maine Association of Nonprofits is that people who do have really good ideas, we recommend that they check and see who else is doing similar work in their community before necessarily going straight to a grant source. Because it just makes sense that it would strengthen your argument if you can demonstrate how your idea builds community, and because that's really the intention behind charitable giving. And so I'll just emphasize that I would give my own tip in terms of people who have really good ideas that they want to pursue is to do a little research into who else is doing similar work so that you can build off of the good ideas that other people in the community have been building on.
We're going to go to Sana, who's calling from Belfast. Hi, Sana. Go ahead.
Hi. So my husband has a medium-sized for-profit design build company that focuses on high-performance buildings in New England. And they just built the nation's first Passive House certified construction facility. So he wants to seriously ramp up their impact by helping to address humanity's need to cut carbon emissions by 50% in the next 5 years. No time to create a nonprofit arm. Who should they be talking with since they can't put the cost of this effort on the backs of their current home buyers?
Sure. Interesting question, Sana. And one thing we haven't talked at all about is government grants. So I'm sure that might be part of what you're looking at, Sana. But Jeanette, what advice would you give to a for-profit company that wants to do something to benefit the public good?
Yeah, I would. I hope to have better advice, but I think funders can give to for-profit corporations. It's tricky, so most funders don't do it because it requires a lot more paperwork, oversight, reporting, and just makes their work a lot harder when there are so many nonprofit organizations that have that are applicable for their funds. I'll also say another mechanism for this type of support is through mission-related investments. So funders can deploy their capital in a number of different ways, through grants, through investments, through their endowment. And so there is a growing number of foundations in Maine who are looking to use their money in that way. Now, I see them go through other through firms that help them get that. So if you have a relationship with a CDFI or another financial services firm, like that's how they usually find those opportunities and then perform some pretty serious due diligence in order to make sure that that investment is not only a sound investment, but is also mission aligned and is advancing their goals.
Jennifer.
Yeah, I would also add to what Jeanette's saying, because we haven't really gotten into government grants, which in fact is a huge portion of the ways that nonprofits are able to resource themselves, of course, depending on the nonprofit. But I would suggest checking out the state's Department of Economic and Community Development. DECD is the shorthand for that. And there are definitely grants that are going out to businesses to support them in their efforts. And that's a place to be started. Where you could start. Another place to check out is the Small Business Association. Every state has an SBA office, and they are designed to support small businesses, and they would also potentially be another resource.
And I'll add that the Finance Authority of Maine just created this really interesting matchmaking service. So businesses can go onto their website and put in their need, and they're hoping that investors will find that and then hopefully create a funding relationship.
Great, great advice. Genius, go ahead.
Because the first thing that came to my mind was grants.gov, which is where you can find all types of government grants there, but you also will land there and find that there's just a litany of options. You'll probably honestly instantly be overwhelmed. And so I will say, considering that the caller was saying they don't have a lot of time to develop a new arm for nonprofits, and I hear that, you might end up hiring a consultant, someone who can go, you pay them and they will go find grants for you and help write the grants. So again, there are services available. And I will just highlight, as much as I'm going to get on here and tell y'all that you can get grants as a for-profit or nonprofit, to just echo out, even for the for-profit, it's going to always be because your mission, goals, and impact align pretty similarly with the type of work that nonprofits do. So grants in general just work that way. So the caller was able to articulate immediately a bit of kind of what the impact on our society and our nature would be, for instance. So that's good. Maybe, do more work with that. But yeah, you got to stay on that path, because talking about it like that and explicating that part is going to be the key, no matter wherever the money comes from.
Sana, good luck to you, and thank you for calling in. Tiffany on Facebook writes, I work for a public school, and one of the challenges is that there are so many needs, it can be difficult to prioritize projects and find grants that fit those projects. How do you figure out which projects to focus on? Is it about what will make the biggest impact in terms of the number of people it touches? Should there be a sentimental aspect to projects? Jennifer, what kind of advice do you give the nonprofits you work with in terms of figuring out which of the needs are the ones that might be suited to apply for a grant?
Well, I think it really comes back to doing the research that we've been talking about, because the different foundations, as Jeanette highlighted, the ones that have websites and have clearly articulated their priorities, it's really key to finding out what it is that they're interested in supporting. And it really runs the gamut. There are foundations out there that will only support organizations in a particular geographic location. There are foundations that are only going to support efforts that are benefiting the arts or the environment. So there's a wide range, and we've mentioned several places where you can go. You can start with the Maine Philanthropy Center in understanding what the full population of foundations are in Maine, and there are a couple of other resources online that you can go to try to figure out. You can filter by topic, but it's hard to really say that there's definitely not a universal idea as to what the priorities are. You really need to go to some of these websites and do some searching in terms of which foundations are focusing on which community issue.
Is there a danger, Jennifer, of for nonprofit organizations of a mission shift, sort of tail wagging the dog, when organizations Does it happen that organizations pursue grants based on what's available and maybe end up not focusing in the end on what their core mission in the first place was?
Yeah, that's always a risk, and that's something that foundations are watching for. So it's something that's really, I think it's wise to be aware of, is that what I think you're bringing up, Jennifer, is this idea that you somehow are chasing the money, right? And so you might have a mission that's really focused on, let's take the geography factor. You may be deciding that you really want to focus in a particular county in Maine and impacting a certain community in a particular county in Maine. And then you find out that a funding source is interested in a more of a statewide approach. And so you might start morphing yourself into your language and the commitments that you're making, you're morphing that into a broader geographic area than you're prepared to actually deliver on. And so it can be a challenge. It's something to definitely keep your eye on as you're applying for some of these grants.
We'll go to John, who's calling from Whitefield. Hi, John, go ahead.
Hi, thanks. Great show. One of your panelists mentioned being clear about your impacts, and I think that's very important. I think you want to be real clear, though. Like, if you want money for workshops or training, yeah, you can have the workshops and training, and that's an activity, and you might think that that's far enough. But go further. Say what the people that go to the training or the workshop will be doing. Think about outcomes for your grants. A lot of times we just think about activities and getting involved, and it's exciting, but I think grantors are looking for lasting results. And if I could, you talked also an example about a community garden. Great idea. But if I'm giving out money for them, I'm hoping that the application is going to tell me more than this is a great idea and we've got lots of people that would appreciate it and we've got several prospects for land we can use. Tell me instead that you already have a committee established, that you've been meeting for a year, that you've lined up the land. And these are the things that you need from me to get it going and what that will mean for the community. So just like thinking further steps ahead about outcomes, I think is a winner in most approaches.
John, thanks so much for calling. And Genius is nodding away. He agrees with you.
Yeah, I feel like he should go on the book tour with me. No, I really do love that thought of going further. I really think that's the key. I would even say, you know, what if you could say in that 6 months to a year where the committee was meeting, we actually went and visited a community garden three towns over, and we did the meditation in a group prayer because someone's having some health issues. And this was the outcome. This is how we felt. We wrote these little reflections, and here's a quote or testimonial from someone. That, again, demonstrates impact. It's not just me saying, hey, I'm excited that we can do this garden. It's so beautiful. This is what happened when our goals and things played out all the way to the end. This was the bounce back in reality. This was who it helped and specifically how. So, yeah, can't echo what John said enough.
All right, John, thank you so much for calling and joining the conversation. Jeanette, I wanted to turn to you, and I know that one of the challenges is that sometimes philanthropies want some sort of measurable outcome, and it's hard for people looking for funding to even get their head around how you might measure something.
That is certainly true. And I think there's a quote by like Einstein or something that's like, not everything that's worth doing is measurable and not everything that's measurable is worth doing. It is tricky to figure out what are the right metrics and what is reasonable for you to be able to account for within your program as it relates to impact. I'll say a good tool for that I found, and you'll hear me talk about the census a lot because I'm a census nerd now. It's an official title. But the census.gov has incredible data. So if you're trying to tell the story about your people and your community and what they look like and why it matters, go there. Like, you don't have to do your own research right away. You don't have to have boots on the ground. You can use some of the existing data resources. And then storytelling is great. Evaluation outputs are good to start with, and then figure out your longer term outcomes. I think setting some good expectations for what you can actually do with the work that you're doing is helpful and can get the ball rolling.
That's wonderful. And Genius, we have just a few seconds left. What's your final thought for folks? But you got to unmute.
Even if you write a grant and you go forward and you don't get the quote unquote win, I have specifically experienced taking quote unquote losing language that I wrote out when I was in that mode, later reapplied for a grant and won. You can win.
So you can use the same language again and again. Thank you so much, all of you. Genius Black has a new book out, and I'm going to get the title right this time. It is 7 Genius Grant Writing Secrets. Also, Jeanette Andre, President and CEO of the Maine Philanthropy Center, and Jennifer Hutchins, Executive Director of the Maine Association of Nonprofits. Today's sound engineer, Jess Miller. Our theme song, composed by Mike Jandrow. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Public Radio.